This is special coverage on the Park Fire from North State Public Radio. I'm Sarah Bohannon. It's been 6 days since the Park Fire was sparked last Wednesday. The fire continues to affect four counties and is now more than 380,000 acres. In the last hour, we brought you an interview with Butte County Supervisor Doug Teeter. The county is setting up a resource center for those affected by the Park Fire. It will open next Monday and be on Pillsbury Road in Chico. Today, the California Department of Insurance had some information for evacuees. They said if you have homeowners insurance, it may help with evacuation and relocation costs. NSPR's Adia White spoke with the department's spokesperson, Michael Soller.
After a wildfire, there are benefits if in your insurance policy, whether you've had a loss to your property or whether you haven't. Many homeowners and renters aren't aware that there's coverage under their policies, really to help them with all kinds of evacuation and recovery expenses. One of those important benefits is known as additional living expenses. So if you have to be out of your home because you've been evacuated, there's a benefit in many insurance policies that helps pay for food or for housing costs, for relocation, even for extra transportation expenses, really anything that you're paying above and beyond what you would normally pay for your rent or your home, there's potential benefits. So we encourage people to look at their policy, to contact their agent if they've had to leave their home for an extended period. And we know the Park Fire is one of the largest fires in California's history. And so people may be out of their homes for some time. So there's this benefit in their policy to help them during that time.
Are these benefits required by state law?
So in 2020, Insurance Commissioner Ricardo Lara sponsored a law. It was actually authored by Senator Bill Dodd, who represents some of the Northern California areas. The new law requires insurance companies to pay for at least 2 weeks of these additional living expense benefits if you've been evacuated from your home. And it also provides an advance payment of no less than 4 months of these. And it used to be that insurance companies would require an itemized inventory form. This law simplifies that. We really cut red tape because the most important thing is getting insurance benefits to people as quickly as possible with as few barriers as possible. Because, you know, when you've been through a disaster, even if you haven't lost your home or had damage, you're still spending money out of pocket, and those benefits can kick in right away. So those are some changes under the law. But again, it's going to depend on, does your policy have this coverage? And many policies do, whether you're a homeowner or you're a renter. Policies may have different deductibles and they may have different limits. So you need to check with your insurance agent. And then the Department of Insurance is here to help if you have any questions at all. You can call us at 800-927-4357, Monday through Friday, or you can go on our website and you can get there at insurance.ca.gov. If you're on your phone, you can actually chat with us through your phone or through a computer. So if you're out of your home and all you have is a phone, you can call us or you can go on our website and you can chat with us or you can send an email. So we want to be there to help wildfire survivors as they're getting started on the recovery. Recovery is not a sprint, it's a marathon. So there's a lot of steps to take and we can help with that.
And I know a lot of folks are going to likely be concerned about their homeowners insurance or renters insurance, especially as we're seeing a lot of policies and agencies pull out of California. What protections do they have to ensure that, you know, they'll be able to keep that insurance?
Absolutely. I mean, as you know, our state is really going through an insurance crisis where many insurance companies have limited the policies they're writing or in some cases stopped writing policies altogether. One of the protections that's under state law for Park Fire residents who live near the Park Fire or within that perimeter is that after a disaster declaration by the governor, the insurance department and Commissioner Lara are going to put in place a protection against non-renewal. So folks who live in the perimeter of the fire once it's gotten under control, or the areas that are right around that, so the zip codes that are right around that, they'll have 1 year of protection against non-renewal. And that's really critical because as you're getting on your feet after a fire, the last thing you need is your insurance company to not issue you a non-renewal. So that will be in effect. We can't issue that until the fire is under control, but we've given notice to the insurance companies that's coming. We have protected more than 4 million Californians since 2019 this way. And so that's an important protection that is going to be coming their way. And if people have any questions about it, you can go to insurance.ca.gov and learn more about that 1 year of protection and how that works.
Is that a new state law that was put into place recently for fire survivors in general?
It was a law that Insurance Commissioner Ricardo Lara authored when he was in the Senate. When he was elected insurance commissioner and took office in 2019, he put it into effect for the first time. So it's been in effect now for 5 years, and it's protected more than 4 million Californians, giving them that it's a temporary protection, but it's a really important to help kind of stabilize folks and make sure that they have that coverage and they're not going to lose coverage after a devastating wildfire.
Is there anything else that people should know to make the process of negotiating with their insurers easier moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that I would say is that we know that this fire has burned houses and properties already, and for folks who have had a loss to their property, we have on our website, insurance.ca.gov, tips for wildfire claimants. So there's a top 10 tips. You know, really thinking about those first steps that you need to take if you've had any kind of a loss. And because there's a lot, it can be a complicated process. In many cases, though, it works very smoothly. And when you have any kind of problem with your insurance company, that's where the Department of Insurance is here. We can help step in. And we've gotten millions of dollars of benefits for people that they didn't know that they were entitled to. So we can definitely help if you have any dispute. But don't think that don't go into it thinking that it is going to be a dispute, because it, you know, in many cases, you know, we hold the insurance companies accountable, and that insurance is there for you because of a situation like this. So don't be afraid to use it if you've suffered a major loss. Now, if you've had a much smaller loss or you're not sure, it's always good to talk to your agent, find out what your deductible is. So if you know, maybe there was something that came in that was less than your deductible, you know, it may not make sense to file an insurance claim in that case. It's important to just talk with your insurance agent, understand what your coverage is, and if you have any questions at all, to contact the Department of Insurance.
That was Deputy Commissioner of California's Department of Insurance, Michael Soller, speaking with NSPR's Adia White. You're listening to Special Coverage from North State Public Radio. We'll be right back. You're listening to Special Coverage on North State Public Radio. I'm Sarah Bohannon. The Park Fire remains very active in the Tehama and Shasta County areas. But in Butte County, many residents got good news yesterday. Those in Paradise and Magalia had evacuation warnings lifted, and those in Forest Ranch had evacuation orders downgraded. NSPR's Alex Stutson was in Forest Ranch today. He spoke with several residents, including Vance Kerr.
One of my sons that lives down in Chico called me and said, "Hey, Dad, there's a big fire. You better get out of there." And, you know, he was all panicked. And I thought, well, you know, I'm going to finish my lunch first. And then I evacuated, you know, grabbed my stuff. And
what did you grab?
Well, we have a metal box with all our documents in it. I grabbed the computer because it's got a hard drive with all the pictures. I grabbed memory sticks that have stored pictures on them. A family Bible, pretty much everything I need. Luckily, we've done this before. We've been evacuated before, so we knew what to pack. And, you know, last time it was kind of, you know, oh, my God, I got to grab. What do I grab? What do I grab, you know?
You've done this before this time.
Yeah, this is the second time that we've been evacuated.
Got it. And so where did you evacuate to?
I have one of my other sons. I have three sons. I have one of my other sons lives in Chico, and I just moved to his house, you know.
Gotcha.
And I thanked him profusely for putting me up, and he was like, "Oh no, it was fun, you know." It's a nice. Yeah, because I have a dog too, a big, huge, 100-pound boxer, and he has a little French bulldog, and I wasn't sure they were going to get along, but they did.
He got along great.
Got along great.
That's good to hear.
I mean, he picked a fight with a dog across the street that was walking, you know, and so it was kind of funny that they got along. But
absolutely.
Yeah.
And so, when were the evacuation orders lifted for your area?
Yesterday, last night.
Got it.
Yesterday evening, yeah, they were changed from to evacuation warning.
And so, when did you first come back up here then?
This morning.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. I thought I'm not going to, rush. The only thing I was worried about was my garden, because I had planted a big garden. I have all these tomatoes and everything, which reminds me, I left the tomatoes out. Anyway.
What was it like driving back up Highway 32 to get up here?
Wasn't bad at all, but, all of a sudden you see where it burnt, and you're kind of like, whoa, that was good. I mean, they did a great job saving this whole area, but as far as the fire is going, this was the most populated area. This is where what you want to save, if anything,
Yeah.
I mean, you go back down that street up there and there's burnt houses, and you go along the Forest Ranch Road, which is on the edge of the canyon, and there's burnt houses there. And yeah, so, my house was fine. I tried to get back up here because I got a video from my neighbor. It was from his porch, and it showed my house, and it was fine. I said, "How'd you get up there? Did you ever leave?" He goes, "Oh, yeah, I got an escort from the sheriff's department." I said, "Oh, sorry to bug you, but how'd you do that?" And then, you call the sheriffs, and you tell them, but at the time I had called, they said, "No, we're booked. Sorry, can't do it. You have to wait for the road to get open," which, was all right, because it was just a day or two.
Sure.
Yeah.
As you were driving up and seeing, the path that the fire had burned through, can you kind of describe what it looked like and what was going through your head as you were driving up there?
Yeah, I was thinking that, man, it got awful close to both sides of 32, which would have headed towards Paradise and Magalia. And you could see sometimes it hopped 32, and it went to the other side and started to burn, but they fought it. And you fight borate all over the ground, and just up here too, both sides got involved. Yeah, and that was kind of like, wow. I think the most overwhelming feeling was, it got close. To tell you the truth, I mean, when you're evacuating your first, I never thought anything like it was so serious. You never thought it would be that serious. You just think, if I'd have to leave something, that's all right. I'll have to come back and get it, But when we were down there watching, I was watching the fire every day on the internet and stuff. I was thinking, man, that's close. That's real close.
That was Forest Ranch resident Vance Kerr speaking with NSPR's Alex Stutson. Alec also spoke with resident Monique Weichelt, who also evacuated and spoke about what she was concerned about.
Our animals, some food, clothes, and mainly inventory, because as long as things can keep getting sold, then we can keep ourselves afloat. It was chaotic for me. We have 4 vehicles, so we had to one by one start taking vehicles down. I did not wait till it got very bad. I was out by time they were ready to say set. We were pretty much out. We came back the next day and came up the back road. We live way up by the Blueberry Farms upshot. So we came up the back roads from Paradise and got up and grabbed some more of our stuff and then in our last vehicle and headed down as they started shutting down 32 going both ways.
Got it. And so when did you first come back from the evacuations?
Ooh, this is my first time back.
And so, what was it like as you drove back up 32 in the area?
Surreal. It was very surreal.
Describe what you saw as you came up here.
Lots of fire retardant. Our whole valley along the side over here just burnt down. You can see where they put some, they took down trees and stuff trying to get ready to fight the fire in Forest Ranch, deeper in the mountains and in the actual forest area.
What was going through your head as you were kind of looking at all of the, burn scar area on your way up?
I was just sad. I saw it coming as we were driving out and knew it was coming, but it's still a sad thing to see.
Sure. And so, Who were you staying with when you evacuated?
Our friends, Tanya and Peter.
Nice. And was staying with them okay?
Yes. Wonderful. It was fine. It was as calming as it can be. Because of where we were, we did have views of everything on fire perfectly.
And what did that look like?
That was scary. The whole mountain looked like it was on fire from Proberta. They were starting to get concerned over there because it was spreading out towards us. It was scary for everybody.
And was your home affected by the fire at all?
No, we were not affected by the fire.
Do you know anybody who was?
On the Forest Ranch groups, just not personally. We're kind of still trying to figure out through the groups who was affected, who was not, and who is scamming.
Sure.
So yeah. We've got a lot of that going on.
Yeah, I mean, what do you mean? What does like a scam look like, and what has that been like?
So a lot of people will put GoFundMes up that house wasn't actually impacted, and it's really hard to tell if it's a scam or not, depending on if you actually know the person that put the GoFundMe up or if it's directly the people involved. So it's kind of finding out who's directly involved on the Facebook groups and helping them directly rather than, for me, going to the GoFundMes if I don't know that their family is directly sponsoring that.
Sure. Is there anything else about the situation that you wanted to mention that I didn't ask you about?
A lot of people could have handled the situation kinder, especially with our paramedics and the fire that were trying to help us out. And everyone's stressed and snapping at each other, and I'm hoping that'll start calming down now.
That was Forest Ranch resident Monique Weichelt speaking with NSPR's Alex Stutzen earlier today in Forest Ranch. And lastly, if you've been listening to this station since the first days of the fire, then you were probably aware that our KCHO transmitter was in danger of burning last week. If that happened, we would have been off the air during a critical time, as evacuations were being issued nonstop and our team was working around the clock to get that information out. Thursday night, the entire news team and our operations technicians here and in Sacramento watched a live camera that sits atop the transmitter as flames approached it. Here are some of them the next morning telling the story of our transmitter making it through the fire.
I'm Sarah Downs. I'm in operations in Chico.
My name's David Bourne. I am the director of broadcast infrastructure out of the Sacramento office.
I actually heard about it here at work. I heard everyone's phones go off, and I look down at my phone and see the notification of the fire, and I thought, oh, it's in Upper Park. Like, that's not good. Upper Bidwell Park.
Sarah's the one that kind of alerted it to me and how close and how fast it was growing. The KCHO transmitter is the big heartbeat of Chico NSPR broadcast. We went up there earlier this year, and as we drove up that canyon, I remember thinking, like, there's a lot of underbrush here that hasn't been cleared out in a long time. It just felt like this, you know, tinderbox that could go at any moment.
The transmitter, it was located in one of the evacuation zones. And I knew, like, that's not good at all, because that means no one can get up there to do anything to protect it. And we were just kind of having to sit and wait and see what happened. And then we received an email from someone that shares the tower with us. And he said, hey, it looks like the fire might be about 2 miles away. And so, you know, all the alarm bells were going off.
I got the same email, and he had sent us a link to this webcam, and I had not seen it before. And you could definitely see the fire, and it was a few miles away. And that's when we really started to think in our heads, like, okay, what are the worst case scenarios of what are we going to do if this happens or that happens? And you try to plan all these scenarios in your head.
It was slow motion at first, and then it was just all of a sudden it was there. It was right there on the tree line, and you could see it just inching closer and closer. It was actually kind of terrifying and really hard to watch at times.
So we stayed in communication, I think, until it was past 10 o'clock last night, and we were all just kind of watching. The entire tech team was just watching along. And it eventually got to the point to where we realized we weren't going to be of any use the next day at work if we didn't try to get some rest.
I slept really hard. And when I woke up this morning, I thought, oh, you know, go to work and it's just going to be dead air. You know, what are we going to do? And I turned on the radio and there we were. It was cool and exciting, and it gave me a little bit of a morale boost.
I woke up this morning at about 5 and I checked my email, and the engineer had told us that the fire had passed through, and he told us the current status and that we were still on the air. And I literally had to read it like 4 times because I did not believe that the transmission line coming from our building up to the tower is going to survive this. But here we are. We're still on the air. It's wonderful.
I mean, looking at the webcam this morning and even now, you can see more trees. You can see it kind of, the smoke kind of clearing out, and seeing our little tower standing there makes me a little proud, you know.
That was Sarah Downs, our operations technician at NSPR, and David Bourne, director of broadcast infrastructure at our partner station, Cap Radio, talking about watching the park fire as it threatened to burn down the NSPR transmission tower last Thursday night. And I'll close out with what I was listening to while watching the transmitter that night, jazz with David Bassi on NSPR. It was a really close call. Thank you to everyone who helped keep us on the air. Adia White, Ava Norgrove, and Ken Duvall helped produce this special coverage. A special thanks to Cap Radio. Our technical producer is Matt Fidler. I'm Sarah Bohannon. You're listening to North State Public Radio.